What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
I don't know what that was. Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome to... This is actually a very quick on-the-spot, holy shit, I didn't get this done in time, let's do this at the last second kind of podcast. It's actually the day that I normally upload my podcast, and I realized I've just been busy and a little sick. I'm like, I didn't do one, and I don't know if I could, and I just felt the support, like maybe I just won't put one up this week with a little apology. And then I got a tweet from somebody who is a fan who said, hey man, I really dig the podcast. I actually mentioned you specifically. My guest today said, I love it when you had my guest today and Darren Carter on the show specifically. So I saw that. Two of the greats. Actually, you and Darren are now my first repeats. Darren was the first. You're on my second repeat guest.
I feel so privileged.
You should feel privileged.
It has nothing to do with me living four streets away.
Same thing with you calling me to do your podcast right at the last second.
I schedule you. See, but now I can never even like schedule you and have you on without you thinking it's last minute. I have to book you like 2 weeks.
Well, no. You told me last time I was a last minute thing. Yeah. So we're uneven.
That's the beauty of being four streets
away. Of being neighbors, exactly. Of being comics or neighbors.
That's why I didn't want to let you down today when you asked me. I was like,
you're a good
super
man.
Busy, but I gotta.
You're a good man.
Put aside some.
You know, I don't care what everybody says about you. You're a good man.
Hi, I'm Patrick.
I was gonna wait to, but that's Patrick Melton, everybody. Patrick Melton from his hit comedy podcast NLO, Nobody Likes Onions, is a guest now on WFD. What's for dinner? We all these initials. NLO, WFD, WTF.
Your place isn't, your studio.
/ living room.
Isn't as complex as mine, but it's way more comfortable.
Yes. If you know Patrick's podcast, you can see it live as it happens. And he has a very state of the art.
Yeah.
It is pretty, it's like Stern. It's like a Howard Stern kind of level radio studio. Yeah. You've got, not only do you have a great setup with microphones, with microphone stands, people don't have to hold it with their hands like you do here. You don't have rubber bands keeping the windbreaker dilly on the. I'm talking like Dallas.
I got tons of these. Why don't you come get some new ones?
Well, no, it stays on this one. That one, it just needed to be tightened at the bottom, so it wouldn't keep slipping.
You gotta tell yourself.
That's what I tell myself.
It looks like a Pac-Man ghost. Not really.
A black Pac-Man ghost.
Sure.
Black man.
Black man ghost.
Black man be instead of like womp 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 be like yeah. Oh damn.
I think they just call those spooks.
Oh.
black man ghosts.
One for Patrick.
Boom.
Good.
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner? Apparently racism. No. So so Patrick was nice enough to come over and do the podcast. And basically, there really have never been any video of this podcast being recorded, but we literally do it in the living room of my apartment.
It's just so much more comfortable. You can stretch out. It's cushy.
Yeah, Patrick is sitting on a nice couch. I'm sitting across from him in my desk chair. There, if you want to take the king chair, that was just suggestions that we could be out. If you want to look
like
in the
this.
Recliner, go in the recliner, man. Really pimp out.
Too comfy to move at this point.
I'm just saying it's even more comfortable
than that.
I'm in
for the long haul.
All right. Stay where you are, my
friend.
Plus,
I got to get used to being uncomfortable. I'm going to Europe, and it's not made for big men.
What, Europe or the plane ride?
All of Europe. We're going to do. Cornell Reed, do you know him?
Yeah, why do I know that name?
He was on the show Friday, or was going to be on the show Friday. And he's coming to London now during our marathon show. Listeners donated.
Oh, that's right. You told me about this. Yes.
Enough for him to come.
Yeah.
So we bought him a ticket. We're going to do like Berlin, Barcelona, Amsterdam. We're going to like jump around for like 6 days. Like,
so you're going to go Nazi Olympics and pot.
Well, and more. We're going to figure out what else. We're thinking like
And
Rome.
Are you doing it? Is this actually an NLO tour? Is it just you guys are going to do one show and then kind of
We're
going
to do two shows in London. If you're in London, love to see you.
London folk, go see the... What date is that again?
October 19th and 20th. It's Dirty Dicks in London. It's
That's a week from Friday, isn't it?
All the details and the address are nobodylikesonions.com/London. But if you're in London, come check it out. It'll be a funny show. We're doing a stand-up show and a podcast. But then we're going to spend a week in London, and then we're just going to spend a week hopping around. We found all this airfare out there.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than trains, And it allows you to see, you know, if you can take a flight instead of a train.
And you got hotels set up, everything, too?
No, we got to still work on hotels. Yeah. We're going to kind of play it by ear.
That's how you should do it.
I mean, it'll be fun to do. We'll be ready to come home, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, I love going to Europe when I go over there. But
yeah, you do that stuff all the time.
Yeah, I go like once, twice a year. I've been
Finland.
To Sweden. Well, mainly Scandinavia. Earlier this year, I was in Sweden for
Stockholm?
Tour. Where do Stockholm's you go? One of them.
I want to make, should we go there? Is that a cool place to like go check out?
Stockholm's pretty cool. And you know what? I might be able to hook you up with some stand-up because they do have a nice stand-up thriving stand-up scene in Stockholm.
We could figure it out to where we could be there on any day. I mean, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, you know, after the show, I'll give you a name or two. I'll give you the guy who runs. His name is Martin Andersson. Very funny Swedish comic.
I feel like everybody over there is named Martin, with like a weird line drawn through.
Yeah,
one
it's
of
like
the letters.
It's like in a circle over the A. It's instead of Martin, it's Martin or something like that. But very funny comic, and he runs a really successful club and tour out there. So I'll give him your name.
Can you do it now? Just stop the show and find it.
No, this is my show. I'm already in with him. Now you gotta wait.
All right.
When you give me the cable, I'll give you his name.
Okay. We'll do a drop-off. Meet me at the McDonald's.
I'll give you the name. You give me the cable I need.
Don't say a word. Just throw it out the windows. Quick.
I'll get a job at McDonald's just so I can hand it to you through the drive-thru like old pot people used to do.
Yeah. They're really elaborate.
Where are you from again?
Florida.
That's right.
Where you're from.
Well, we didn't start together. You were Tampa
guy.
No,
well, yeah. It's miles apart. I mean, it's comics in Tampa. I started in Tampa. You started in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we never saw each other. There was no, like, meet up.
I never met you going through Side Splitters?
No. I never did Side Splitters. I was always improv.
That's right.
I did Side Splitters.
But no, we met doing a college gig
North
with Jamie.
Carolina. Right. Yeah.
With Jamie Kennedy, which
that
is...
That was a crazy night.
That was a really fun... Wait, speaking of crazy nights, you were telling me a story about what happened on your show, on your marathon show this past weekend. Can you tell that story? Is that okay?
I mean, I can. I don't know. It's interesting to your listeners.
I think this is because... Patrick on his show like I said, it's a popular show, and there are some listeners from your show who now listen to my show, so thank you for that. And Patrick did his marathon show, and two very cute girls that we know
made out. Twice.
Were they drunk?
I have a video of it on my phone.
Do you really? Can I see it?
Right now?
Yeah.
You want to see it as
I'm going to describe this, because these are two very cute girls. Very, very cute.
They would not want this going out.
Well, we're not saying their names.
I'm releasing it all on my side anyway. It doesn't matter.
This is...
Yeah,
no,
I mean, this was like 3 or 4 a.m.
Wait, that's not the other girl that I saw the other
night. No. This is a different comic.
She's a comic?
Last night, the other one came.
You didn't get that one on video? Or did they make out?
No, they didn't make out. I'm trying to make out with her.
She is a cutie. But no, I'm looking at... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is the less sexy makeout session. Our fans watched this in HD and live on the stream and said that wasn't good enough. Do it again. So they got in each other's laps. Sat in the laps. Hugged.
Did they get anything from that?
What do you mean? Were they into it?
Well, I was going to say, did they... Yeah, were they into it? I was thinking money.
No, fuck no.
That's my Jew brain.
No way.
Had they
girls... I don't like to encourage girls to use sex to get money.
Just sex to get ratings.
Sure. And me money. I'm like the pimp of the podcast world.
You kind of are.
Yeah. I wasn't, but now...
I could actually see that as like a promo pic of you like in like a purple suit with a purple hat and a big pimp chalice.
We're just crazy. Like then last night, Al Jackson, very funny comic.
Very
is he
funny
done your show?
No, not yet.
You got to get him on. He lives in L.A. now, so he's out here.
Yeah, also very funny comic from Florida, too.
And he texts me. He was flying in. He was in St. Thomas working all weekend. He texts me last night at like 8 o'clock, just landed at L.A. You want to do a podcast tonight? I'm like... No, I just done a podcast and a 2-hour after show.
Right.
And I was like, no. And he's like, come on, podcast. So at midnight, at 11:30, we did a podcast where we were drinking, smoking weed. It was probably crazy. 5.5 hours.
And you had a lot of people watching?
Yeah. And then two girls came over and were harassing them.
Those are the two.
It's a weird, it's not a podcast. It's just kind of a,
it's a party.
Slowed down rape. It's really, yeah. It's just
oh, wait, did you get a little boom boom?
No.
Oh, well, then it wasn't rape.
No, no, no. I'm not trying to creep anyone out to that degree yet.
Yet. I like how you say
well,
yet.
Well, I harassed this girl on my show. I had my fans all day long on the marathon show Saturday tweet her. And they were photoshopping pictures of us together, like on movie covers.
I'll tell you, you've got some really insane fans.
Yeah, you don't want to piss them off.
You don't want to piss them off, but if you get them on your side, they're incredible.
Yeah, the ones that will do something. They're like most people, though. Like, most of them will listen. They're never going to throw you money. They're never going to say thanks. They're never going to acknowledge to you that they listen.
They just take it for
granted. And then one day you get an email, hey, I've been listening for 8 years. You fucked up on the last show. Fix it. You know, just like, you've never done anything for me. You've never said thank you, but now I made a mistake.
Did you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where they kind of poke fun at their fans for almost the same thing? And
no.
They use the comic book guy character as a catalyst for it?
Huh.
Like, I forgot what the actual... Like, the comic book guy was complaining about a Radioactive Man movie or comic book or something. And Bart was there, and he's like, this is the worst ever. And Bart's like, you know what? You get this for free. You don't pay for it. And you know, you're sitting there enjoying it for free, and then something happens that bothered you, and you're complaining about it. And he just goes, worst episode ever.
Yeah.
Didn't have any retort.
Right.
That's what I think you're saying your fans could be.
I mean, how long have you been doing yours now?
My podcast?
Yeah.
Time-wise or episode-wise?
Time.
I think I started in January, but it was a little uneven as far as airing. Like, there might have been a couple weeks and I didn't have anything.
Pretty regular now, one a week?
Yeah, one every Tuesday.
Okay. So...
Hence, it's today. This is going... As you listen to this, literally, we're recording this an hour before you're listening to it.
Live to tape.
Live to tape to you, my lovely minion.
We're recording this directly to the internet. Straight to the cloud.
I don't do any of that shit, man.
Cloud stuff?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a Mac.
No, I use Dropbox.
That's good. No, I use Dropbox.
It's the same kind of thing, right?
It's the same kind of thing. But if you have a Mac, I think Windows does it too now, actually. But
there is some kind of
cloud. It'll sync your contacts, documents, appointments.
But it's
I'm working on a set list in Pages on my Mac,
mm-hmm.
and I have to rush out the door and forget. Now I'm at a club, and I'm like, fuck, how did I want to do that? I can pull it up on my phone exactly as it is on my computer. If I take a photo out somewhere and lose my phone, or put somebody's number on my phone and lose my phone, it's all on my computer when I get home.
Well, no, that happens with me, too. Anything on my iPhone, iPad, or computer is synced up between the three.
Sure.
So I get maybe
that's
I,
iCloud.
So maybe I do have cloud. I just never...
Maybe I do have cloud.
iCloud? I don't know.
I do have clouds.
You know, man, I'm so out of touch with technology. Oh, wait a minute. Is this?
Maybe if your cat didn't chew all over your cord during the show.
Literally, folks, as we're doing this, my cat is like
gnawing on the board.
Sniffing the soundboard. God.
She thinks
I woke up with the worst fucking allergies today. Do you have allergies?
I think I do, and I don't acknowledge them, and that's why I get sick right when the seasons change.
Yeah.
Like, because I've been sick for 2 weeks. Part of it's traveling. If you don't stay hydrated,
if you don't get rest, it's very frustrating.
Do your one a day.
You want a day chewables, vitamins?
Not chewables. What am I, 9?
No, they have one a day gummies now.
I'm sure they do, but I'm an adult.
We have them.
I can just swallow.
They're delicious.
Pill. Are they fruit flavored?
Yeah.
Then I would eat like 10.
That's the thing. They become kind of addictive.
Right.
They taste like gummy bears.
I want the one the size of a horse pill that's a pain in the ass to swallow. It makes me do it every other day.
Those are mollies.
No, these are giant. they're the size of.
Actually, I take allergy pills
slugs.
That are like that big. Yeah.
I mean, it hurts your throat when it goes down.
If I had a nickel every time you said that to me.
No.
Oh, that was a gay joke. But no, I woke up, dude, my allergies are just, like, it's one of these things. My doctor says I'm allergic to cats, but my wife already had 2 cats. So I kind of came into this going, all right, I guess I'm, and I had.
More pussy than you bargained for.
But these cats aren't bad because they really don't shed. So the dander doesn't get in the air.
They don't shed?
I mean, they shit, but I mean, like, when they're sitting, of course, when they're sitting on the couch and everything, but you know how some cats, you pet them and it's just like fucking flurry of like.
But they're unhealthy. Isn't that unhealthy cats?
No, some cats shed easily.
Breeds.
Yeah. You ever seen the shaved cats? They don't have any fucking hair. That's not unhealthy.
Yeah, shaved cats don't have any hair. Good job, Flip.
I'm just saying there are cats out there that don't have hair and are still healthy.
And they're still getting jobs in society.
That's right. Don't discriminate against the shaved.
Thinking about going bald.
Are you?
Is that a good look for me?
No. You got great hair.
I want to be Michael Chiklis. I know, I shaved it all off in some weird rebellion. And that, because I had long hair all year, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't I remember that?
I don't
know. I always remember your hair looking like
that. I always
like
have short hair. In about November of last year, I started growing it out, and I've had long hair all year. It was got really long. It was 5 or 6 inches.
I swear to God, I don't remember seeing you
we
like that.
We didn't talk for like 3 months.
We really
did. You were
did.
Busy.
Been, I was busy. You were moving.
But I cut it in April a little bit for my grandma's funeral.
That was respectful.
And because I could go all wild. But for 5 months, I didn't cut it.
Really?
But it got so hot during the summer. I mean, Jesus.
This has been a brutal fucking summer.
I mean, it's
summer.
Been so bad here. People think it's a real... Oh, LA, yeah, I'm sure it got real hot.
No, it got... It, I think...
In the Valley.
In the Valley, it was like 108
yeah.
at one point.
But and it's not just that it was 108. Like, okay, I could deal with 108 day every now and then.
It wasn't now and then.
This lasted 4 months, this mm-hmm. brutal heat this year.
Oh, it was
awful. I don't want to tell you what my electric bill has been at that house.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God, your
house.
I
have central air, but see, this house, I just moved into this old house, and so old houses didn't have central air, so it was all put in aftermarket. So it's probably not optimized, plus my landlord's a giant piece of shit. I don't think my attic's insulated correctly. I don't think the air conditioning ductwork is done right. I think there's leaks, and if you have cold air just leaking into your attic while you're air conditioning your house...
That's not good. That's
I mean, you're
good.
Just... That's, well, that's also... you're. Wasting money.
And you're wasting money, yeah.
I mean, I got my electric bill over $200 2 months in a row.
You want to hear what's fucked up?
I mean,
our electric
insanity.
Bill is the same thing, and our apartment
How?
Is not nearly as big as
How?
Yours. I don't know.
You don't even have central air.
No, we have one unit there, one unit in the bedroom.
See, I almost think that's the fucking answer, though. Is that, but they cost a lot more.
What?
Those little air conditioning units in the windows. But see, you can just turn the one in your bedroom on at night.
That's what we do. We leave
this
one
off.
Yeah.
See, I got to cool this whole fucking house all night, plus all day. The problem is I got to have air flowing in that studio while we're doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep it on and flowing, it's got to be on and flowing in the whole house. And it's a big house at 2 p.m., 3 p.m.
Can't you shut the vents in some of the other rooms?
Some of the vents have a thing you can shut. Some don't. But I'm convinced that I don't know if that does any good. I can't figure it out how to get that one room cool. Like, it's a weird problem.
Why don't you bring in fans? Like those Dyson. Those Dyson bladeless fans.
There's a fan in the studio, and I also put another fan, like, in the doorway sometimes to blow air in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I can't get it right. Like, I can't figure it out to get it consistent.
You'll get it. I have faith in you.
Yeah, it's been months. Can't.
No, don't say can't.
Okay, I'm leaving now to go work on it. Bye.
Go. Okay, Patrick left. Now he's back.
I'm back. I need some... Jello pudding pops.
Do you want a pudding pop?
No.
We have fudgesicles.
I'm watching
this
my weight.
This is so...
I'm losing weight. I'm working out. I'm getting positive. I'm going on walks. I almost walked over here, but I was late.
Let me ask you a question. Sorry, talking about working out, and Patrick and I are both smokers of the medical marijuana. Do you, when you get stoned, like for me, sometimes when I get stoned at night, I get very introspective.
Yeah.
And I start shitting on myself about not doing enough with my life and about the way I look, like
all
physically.
Day. All day, every day. I really do. I'm really tough.
Me too. I hate
myself. But I'm sick of being overweight.
What do you hate about yourself?
It's so hard to lose weight. It's so fucking hard. But I have to. Like, I'm going to die, like, if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like 350, 6'5". So I
you weigh 350?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, people are always like, wow, I just carry it well because I'm
6'5". You
just
carry it well because you're 6'5", exactly. I honestly hadn't, I didn't think you were, I thought you were maybe 270.
People, I'm lucky because I think people do look at me and go, he's just a big guy, and not he's a fat guy. Although I'm a very fat guy.
You're a big fat guy.
Yeah. But
you're
have to lose
it.
I have to.
So what are you doing to work on it?
I'm trying to not eat out, not eat fast food. I'm trying to stop eating at a reasonable...
Yeah, that's one of my big
quantity. portion size is insane, especially if you're single and cooking. Mm. Like if I cook, I crock potted the other day. I crock pot a lot.
Okay.
I crock pot a lot.
What did you crock pot?
Chicken breasts.
Okay.
Carrots, potatoes, and broccoli.
All right. You got some protein, got some
starch. Salt and pepper, a little butter, 7 hours.
Yeah.
Open it up. It was gorgeous. The problem is I ate a chicken breast. I portion out half the vegetables in there. I love vegetables, so I'll eat a lot of vegetables and hope that fills me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go, well, there's another chicken breast in there. But I'm full. If I just give it a sec, you're fine.
You're full, yeah.
See, but I'm so used to like all that's in there. But I mean, good. You know, I put it in Tupperware and eat it tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. See, I had the same thing. Like, I know, you know that expression, your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Sure.
It's true for me. Like, I'll see all this food. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And I have maybe a third of what I initially put on my plate, and I'm full. And then in my head, I'm like, well, this is a waste, or now you could still fit some more in there. Or you intended on eating all this. And now I've just kind of learned, like, I know what my limit will be beforehand. And if I want more, if I'm still hungry, then I'll cook some more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm fat or anything. I just need to tone up and watch
so
what I eat.
I just pressed for time. I usually, if I cook, I cook more than one meal so I can put it up. If I'm making chicken breast, I'll cook three. You know, I'm going to make one in for a salad today. And mm-hmm. we'll figure out what to do with the other two. But they're cooked and ready to go.
Okay. Now, what else about you do you hate?
I hate... it really bugs me... that I can't, you know, I get frustrated about booking. Same thing every comic.
Mm-hmm.
Booking, TV, auditions, I mean, everything.
It's such a...
And I have so much shit I want to do, you know. I've started a book, but I haven't worked on that in over a year.
Started a book?
Yeah.
About what?
Just a humorous autobiography. And a lot of comics are doing that now. Have you read, Jen Kirkman's got a book, Moshe Kasher has a great book.
That published?
Oh, yeah.
Like legitimately published,
yeah.
Or online
Moshe's,
published?
Moshe's, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
He's on like book signings and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we just saw him the other night.
I think just in L.A., but still. He's very, that book is really good. And so I see things like that come out. You know, I've wanted to do a rap album forever, a humorous rap album. And you got to find a producer. You got to find somebody who can do the music. I don't want to put out shit. I don't, you know, I could get a person with a guitar
mm-hmm.
and record it in my home.
No, if you're putting something out, you want it to be right.
But I want to get somebody, I want it to compete with what's on iTunes if I put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then TJ Miller did that last year, or this year.
Put out a rap album?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's good or not, I haven't even heard it. But it's just like, fuck, you know, you see that kind of shit happen, and you've had the idea for years and haven't done it, and you've sat on your ass.
Yeah, you got to get out and do it.
It's like, I mean, how many things like that are there that you've wanted to do?
Dude,
and you're just like, it's just, you don't have the people or the time or the energy.
But you know what? Honestly, man, you could find all that. If there's motivation behind that, things,
sure.
Those things will come to you. I think the problem is...
We see it every day, these people out here who, you know, they're not as funny as you. You know they're not as experienced as you, and yet they hustle a lot more.
Yep. That's the thing.
And they're out there, and they
you know,
get way more stuff than you get, and it's like, why? Well, they hustle.
I used to be so oh, my God. I used to have, like, this fire under my ass. I used to go out almost every night to the improv to just hang out, just to be seen.
That's what I wanted to do when I moved here, and I want to do more of that.
I need to get back
to
it.
We need to beat each other up about it.
You know what happened, dude? And all due respect, I got married. I got married, and I have a girlfriend, or I have a wife. Jesus, I have a wife. But even when I had a girlfriend, we were living together. It's this weird thing as a comic. Like, suddenly, I don't, you know, I usually it was like, I'm leaving not just to hang out, but I don't want to be by myself in my apartment. Now it's like, oh, I got my wife with me, and we hang out, and we watch TV, and we smoke, and whatever. And I'm like, fucking everything's passing me by because I'm too complacent sitting here. So I want to get that fire under my ass again and pretend, you know, feel like I did when I was a 20-something-year-old comic first moved out here.
Yeah, when I moved into that house this summer, I mean, that's a lot of work when you move into a house. You got to get it all set up,
mm-hmm.
unpack. And my girlfriend was here for the summer. At the time. And, yeah, I didn't go out for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's like, I got a girlfriend. I do this show. Not only that, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm doing a show 3 days a week.
Yeah, but
if we do an after show, I'm done at 6, 7. And I'm just beat. And now you're telling me I got 2 hours before I got to shower and get out to a it's like, it's a tough sell on yourself after you've been fucking like.
Yeah, but you know, you push through that.
You got to.
You
got
to push through
or
that.
What I do now is take an hour and a half nap. Wake up,
like
shower.
A little power nap, yeah.
Yeah, go out at 10. to the shows.
And where are you going when you're going out?
Improv. There's certain shows that I do around town that I go to. But mostly the improv. I think I'll start going to the Comedy Store more a little bit.
Yeah, I got to get in with those clubs too. See, tell me,
like, Laugh Factory, I haven't been to in over a year. I just don't. Like, that seems like a real tough nut to crack.
You know what? Both the Laugh Factory and the Store have been tough nuts for me to crack. Like,
Store is, but I feel like the Store is doable if you're there. All the Store is a click.
Yeah.
If you're there every night, you're going to become
a Store comic.
A Store comic.
And you know, it's just.
And that's why all the Door guys go up all. I mean, it's just being there.
Yeah. That's true.
None of those people are better.
I just like, I mean, yeah, well, some of them are better.
But I look at, you know, I don't even look at shit like that anymore. It's like, how do you fucking look at Dane Cook and you and go, who's better? Like, how do you even compare that?
You can't, well, dude, you know you can't compare comics. You
some
really
people,
can't.
Yeah, some people like this kind of sensibility.
Exactly.
Some people like that kind of humor.
Exactly.
And I tend to wear that on my sleeve and kind of like, even on like a date, on a first date, I'll throw out a very inappropriate joke, but it's my humor because that's a, if you don't.
What's a first date inappropriate joke you've told before?
I've said this before. And when you say first date, I mean, Jesus, is it like, not first date necessarily, but say you're talking to a girl at a party or a place or anything. But let's say a first date, you go out for, my friend did this. It was my suggestion. I don't think I've ever done this one, but this is great. He was having coffee with a girl, and he just, like, felt she was a little uptight and nervous, and that wasn't his thing. You know, he didn't want a girl like that, and he wanted to find out if he was wasting his time or not. And I swear to God, he says he did this, and I can't, I mean, I'm giggling, just giddy, over I wish it was on tape or something. He goes, so when was the last time you finger blasted yourself?
Wait, did he?
Yeah.
Did he just throw that out? Yep. Did he explain how he, or just out of nowhere?
Yeah, he just threw it up.
And what was her response?
What did you say? Like, and he clarified that he did indeed say what she thought. That pretty much ended it.
Well, at least we know that wasn't the girl for him.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done anything that extreme, but what? I have met a girl, got her number, was going to go out with her at some point, and been texting and been like, after that, I'll just chop you up and put you like in my freezer, like that kind of shit. And like, we just met for 5 minutes.
Wait, over text, you told her that you would chop her up and put her in your freezer?
Yeah, I've done that.
In response to
like
that?
Like, in context.
In context.
Like, we were talking about where to go or something. And I'm like, do you want me to pick you up? Do you want to come here? Do you want to meet there? Do you want to, like, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, you know, and girls will say that as both to be funny and kind of serious. Well, I'm not going to come to your place. You might, who knows if you're going to kidnap me or whatever. You know, girls will say stupid shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like to say, I will. And then I'll put you in this pit that I have for girls in the back of my house. Because okay. it's like
you can't take it seriously.
First of all, you got to give it up for a killer who would have a pit for girls in the back of his house and then just point blank tell the girls and then still follow through and do exactly.
And still do it.
I'm going to kill you the exact way I told you, the exact manner. I have all the things I said I did. Well, isn't this weird? You got to give it up for that kind of.
You know what? He's committed.
Brazen? Say it?
I thought Brazen was his name.
I was trying to say it. Yeah.
I'm serial killer Brazen.
Brosnan Lesnar.
That'd be a great name for like a guy. Hello, I'm Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan.
Ah, touche. Brosnan. Is it Brazen?
Brazen.
Brazen. Pierce
Brazen. What do you call it?
Brazen.
Anyway, that's cocky, and I like the way you kill.
Or that's when you put a bra in the freezer, it turns Brazen.
I love a Brazen treat on a hot day.
On a hot day, a good Brazen. The Mexicans, Brazen does.
Mexicans downtown pushing around those Brazen does carts. Bragging bras.
No, but I like Brazen does. Brazen or Hagen bras.
Hagen bras.
Hagen bras. There we go. We found it. We're marketing that. Copyright 2012.
Their bras
What's
made
for dinner?
Entirely
Hagen bras.
Out of bacon.
Bacon?
Hagen bras.
Oh, hog and bras.
Yeah, you said hog and bras.
No, I was thinking ice cream shaped like bras, like lingerie.
I was thinking bacon.
Hog and bras. But then it would then it would be Häagen-Dazs with H-O-G.
Häagen-Dazs.
Häagen-Dazs, heavy on the hog.
Häagen-Dazs doesn't live here anymore.
Well, I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about anymore.
I know, this just turned into my show.
Let's
make a prank call.
What we actually on his last show, I actually did a prank call to the Freemason Lodge.
Taking me off a tot. I don't know. Okay. I know how to do this.
Yeah. Sorry. We called the Freemasons, and they were actually nice people.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. Like
let's
I mean,
not make this whole show just talking about what you do on my show.
I know.
Jesus.
I know. Well, you know what? This show is just basically what's going. You wonder what's been on my mind lately?
Sex, baby.
No. I'm married. I don't care. No, I don't care about. You know what? The sex drive really does lessen when you get married.
It's not about getting married. It's
yes,
just
it is.
About being with the same person.
But it's not
the
even
same thing happens when you live with your girlfriend.
But with me, it's like it's not that I'm not attracted to my wife anymore. I still am. I just don't have the desire to have sex as much.
It's not. It's. I'm telling you, there's a fundamental thing like in human beings, especially guys, where it's like if you went away for a month and came back, you'd be all over her.
Because I've been experienced, because I've been seeing other
if you
girls
broke, if
that
you
I knew
broke
I could
up,
fuck if I wasn't married.
Yeah, it's just this fucking thing. It's a God's unfair joke or whatever.
Well, it's not
nature's
God.
Cruel.
It's,
nature's
it's
cruel joke that men want to fuck different things, come in different girls. That's what we want
to
do.
Well, that's genetic.
Right.
That has nothing to do with God.
Right, sure. I was being facetious.
No.
But I'm saying there is something that makes you like. I've been, like, with a girl, and we're not having sex at all. I'm jacking off three times a day. It's like I'm still horny. Not for you anymore. That happens.
Yeah, you know what?
So you have to find a way to trick your brain into that. But once you even figure that out, I mean, the drive lessens. And then I'm telling you, if you break up with that person, you'll be jacking off to that person in a week. Like, just can't stop thinking about him. Like, I miss her. Because you can't anymore.
But that's an emotional connection, not a physical
Maybe,
desire.
But it's just this thing of, like, I don't know. We want to fuck everything we see except what we can have and have
well,
had
so it's,
for
it's
a while.
Well, that's an old saying. The grass is always greener. You don't know how what you got till it's gone, blah, blah,
and
blah.
Before
blah.
The show, we're talking about somebody. That was insane.
Were we?
Yep. Well, I don't want to get too personal. Somebody moved out here with somebody and
oh, right.
saw other girls in L.A. and was like, huh, talk to you later.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other story. No, but it's it really. But, you know, I think that a lot of the problem with that is that we as a society has put such an importance on monogamy. You know, like and it's all religious because we as this is true. I think we as human beings, we as mammals, we as a species are genetically programmed to copulate and spread our seed everywhere as a guy. And there's been societal norms implemented in us from day one that you get married, you do not cheat. If you do, it is the worst thing in the world, blah, 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 blah. And I've agreed with that for a long time, and I still do. I would never cheat on my wife because there's an emotional connection that I think is stronger than physical.
Well, there's ideals
but
loyalty
and
trust,
of course, all of that, which makes a very healthy relationship.
Sure,
but I think if you're honest with your partner, if you say, "Look, I love you. I will never want to be with anyone else emotionally. You're the person I will spend the rest of my life with as a partner." But as a man, or if it's a woman, I need to experience other people physically.
Unfortunately, these constructs that we have as humans, jealousy, insecurities, all these things will never, you know, there are people out there who can do it, but they're exceptions, not the rule. And at some point, it will all come to a head. No matter how good you think it's going at first, it's just not, it's most people can't pull that off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the thought of your wife with another man.
See, it's funny you bring that up. We've actually had this discussion, me and my wife. And she said she'd be fine with it. And I think you were even here for part of this discussion one time.
That you with another woman.
me with another
woman. I'm talking about, what do you think about another guy banging your wife?
Here's my thing, honestly. And right honestly. Now, of course, it's Allison and I, we've been together almost 4 years, so it's still very new. And the idea of that bother, of course it bothers me, and I'm sure the idea of me with a woman bothers her at this point. We're talking like maybe 10 years down the road or something. We'll be together for a little while.
If swingers?
Yeah. The idea has, I'll be honest, the subject has come up because we have swinger friends and they're very happy.
Yeah.
And she and I both have that kind of, opinion about emotional can be separated from physical sometimes.
You know,
going back to what you asked me, I would not want to know who the guy was. And I just wouldn't want her to go into deep detail. Just
well,
know
you said
that
you
it
had
was
swinger friends.
Sorry?
You said you had swinger friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people have their swinger friends over.
I wouldn't want to watch them. I wouldn't want to know who
but
she
went
over.
But you'd be cool with your wife just going in the back room
I know
with your friend and you're out there with his girlfriend.
Because I know that it's only physical. I know that when the day's
still
over.
It's still hard to hear it through the wall.
Well, okay, I'm not going
to
be listening for it. I'll be
might
too busy
not have
fucking
to. Maybe
his girlfriend.
Maybe he's doing a better job.
Hmm?
Maybe he's doing a better job in there than you're
he
doing
out here.
He
probably would be. Honestly, I'm okay. I have my good days. But
sure. I'm saying this like...
We actually got...
Yeah, like seeing it, the people go to like these swinger parties like where it's like a mansion where everybody's just fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to see your wife with another dude, like, what
I
if
that's
she
the thing.
Does,
I don't want
to
like,
see
what
it. If she's enjoying him way more than she enjoys you? What if she's doing things with him, like, just moves?
That's the thing. I don't
want to
know.
Like,
I don't want to know who the guy is. I don't want to know what they're doing. All I want to... The only thing I care about, is it safe? Then... Because I know... That's the thing. I trust Allison implicitly. I know 100% she would never, ever do anything to hurt me.
Does anybody ever know that about anybody?
I feel I do. I feel I really
feel you do, but
I've had girlfriends in the past, and I thought I trusted them, and then I realized I didn't. Like something happened.
I know,
like,
but that's
Allison.
Like
I have no
same
doubt.
Same exact thing you're saying now.
No. There's a difference because I have never been in a
it's
relationship.
When you're in it, you can't. I don't think you can judge it fairly.
Yeah, I can because I can compare my relationship with Allison with the other relationships I've
had.
Yeah,
but you can't do it objectively when you're in a relationship. You can't talk about this relationship fairly and objectively while you're a part of it. It's not possible. Like, and it might not be bad. It might be close. It might not be bad at all. But it's just not possible. It's like you have all had you've had a friend or a girlfriend who like is with a guy who's horrible for her or a girl who's horrible for him,
mm-hmm.
and they can't fucking see it. Because they're in it. They're just like, well, no, you don't, you know, that's not how it is when you're not around. Or they justify it and they make excuses or they go, and I'm not saying you're doing that at all. That's not, I'm not
no,
trying to compare that.
To be honest.
I'm just saying, like, it's different because you're in it and you do look at it differently.
Well, okay.
You can look at those other
yes,
relationships.
Yes, yes. I guess if you were.
If you look at old Flip and that person and go, this is how that worked. But you can't look at old Flip with Allie because you're with Allie now.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. I guess 100%
forest for the trees.
100% yeah, forest for the trees. Fine, I'll give you that. Maybe
a little bit. I'm just saying there is some skew.
There is some perspective skew. There is some bias at this point in the relationship.
Sure.
And to be honest, if there's anybody who would be getting a, if there's anybody who'd be saying like, oh, that's different when you're not there, kind of thing. It's Allison about me, because
sure,
I gotta watch that, man. I fuck with her way too much. I treat her too much like a comic and a buddy
well,
than I do,
do you
like
know,
a wife.
Like, I've really struggled with this year. Like I've gone over like how I treat people, and like in my heart, it's so hard for me because in my heart and in my like how I care about my friends,
mm-hmm.
I really don't. I don't wish any ill will against anybody. I don't have anything against anybody. I would never. I would do anything for anybody. I would help my friends out. I would. And I come across, and part of it's my size. Part of it's just people are intimidated when I'm walking a room.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that, and I don't acknowledge that, and I've never been aware of that. And people tell me. I had a manager at an improv told me one time who we had been buddies forever. He was just like, you just, like, when you talk to me, like, you tower over me, you're huge, it's very intimidating. And I was just like, Jesus, really, man? And he's like,
you should take advantage of
that. He's like, yeah, but it's like how many times am I talking to girls and they're thinking that? Like, this guy's creeping me out. He's intimidating. Or like, I know I don't smile. I'm not a happy soul.
You're a happy soul. You just don't express it.
Yeah, but I have a look, I guess. Just all these different things, but they add up. So like coupled with that. And maybe, you know, I say horrible off-the-cuff things that I don't even think about. And I made McCullough cry the other day on the show. I was just like, you're fucking stupid. Anyway, we're going to go over here to the... I said, you're fucking stupid as a throwaway. Like we do all the time. You're being fucking retarded.
Right.
You were in the show the other day talking about how you believe... aliens are coming down. We're all going to have...
Whatever.
Anyway, and, you know, I'm busting your balls in there. I'm like, oh, you're fucking ridiculous. I think you got mental problems, all this shit. Like, if I said those kind of things to her, just like I did to you, throwing away.
But she...
And I don't think anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's not a comic, because I've done it to women comics and they cry. Like, it's just women are different. As much as we want to sit there, just like people do, oh, yeah, black people and white people are all the same. Are we? Have you been in the hood? We're different, and it's okay. We're equal, but we're fucking different. And men and women are very different. And you really have to find... I did it with my girlfriend. Like, you can't, you know, for the first month of the relationship, calling her bitch in front of your friends is hilarious. And then she will pull you aside, and she will go, you know, the bitch thing has to stop.
Dude, and to anybody who listened to the last podcast, you'll remember that I was saying some kind of fucked up shit to Allison, all in jest. But then at the end of the episode, I had this little post message just basically saying, just so you know, it's all in good fun. I really love and respect Allison as a person, as a comedian, and blah, blah, blah. And I do. And I'll be completely honest here. She didn't ask me or make me do that. I did that on my own. But had she not mentioned anything about how I was coming off towards her, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. About not doing it.
And it's one of those problems. That's one of those issues in a relationship. And it's not only in couples, friends. I'll rub a friend the wrong way and find out, you know, they've been for 2 weeks upset at me. I do that all the time. I say things that I don't think twice about, and they fucking hurt people.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be more aware of that, but it's 32 years of...
I know, dude.
Being, you know, and part of it's, you know, nobody... I've had a hard life. I don't have parents. I don't have anybody. And it's like maybe I'm callous and maybe I'm just lashing out because I'm angry at everybody. But I don't. When I say you fucking idiot and turn and change the topic on my show, that to me is just being silly with friends.
Right.
There's no malicious intent behind that.
Yeah, but how long have you
and
known
it
this girl?
Sucks. I mean, years, but not close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We knew each other in Florida. And then I just met her recently out here in L.A. again.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think it also has to do with the relationship you have with
somebody.
But some
girls will just never be cool with that kind of stuff.
It's true. It's true.
And I don't know what's right in that situation. It's like freedom of speech and joking and stuff is right, but respect and...
And awareness
and
of how you're...
Yeah,
the words
it's like if you're doing something that's hurting somebody and they're telling you, this is hurting me when you do this and you don't have to do it, do you have a responsibility to stop doing that? To a person you really like, love, or care about, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. Because, like, for example, Allison, you know, that point came up in the last show, and we talked about it. And the next time she's on the show, I'm going to be a little more aware of what to say. What,
sure.
Not because, unless it's so fucking funny.
But at that point, it starts, you know, and at that point, that's... That adds a new layer of a filter now on the show.
Trust me, I know, but it's like...
That now that slows down the show. It also makes you question your comedy. It also makes you question, like, should I say this? Should I not say this on my own show? It's like, whereas if you had another comic in here who was a girl, you probably wouldn't hesitate saying it.
Probably.
Or a guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, like...
You called me a big fat piece of shit a minute ago. Like...
I didn't say piece of shit. I just said big fat guy.
Oh, that was my head.
That was in your head.
I
called you a big fat piece of shit on your show.
Oh, okay.
That's
what it was. I get confused
about
where we are.
We're very similar shows.
No, but it's just tough. Like, what do you do? I don't know.
See, and that's the thing. Like I said, I've tried, and if I wish she was here to throw her two cents in, because now I feel shitty talking about her. But like, I tried to treat Allison on the show more like a comic sidekick.
Than
a wife. And sometimes we tell, you know, marriage stories, but, like, for example, and I actually, you know what? I actually cut this out of the last show. because I listened back and went, this is coming off too vulgar or too dickish. The subject came up where somebody had mentioned that on the show before I had said my wife's nickname, pet name, was Twat. And it was just like an aside thing, and I thought it was funny. And then I heard from one or two people saying, oh, I can't believe you called your wife a twat. Not that they were mad. They were just like, wow, I can't believe she let you do that and blah, blah, blah. And it came up on the show, and I said, and she started to say something, and I cut her off. Go, would you shut the fuck up, you cunt? And I kept, and I thought that was funny that people were mad I called her a twat, and then it just off the cuff said, oh, you cunt. And to me, that's just that's how I,
I'm
that's
with
my
you.
Sense of humor.
But I'm you know, with you, but you know, now in the context problem. Of it now, I'm going,
which is why I took it out of the show because it didn't get a laugh either.
Sure,
but and I realized two very interesting things about myself. One, especially when I'm on the podcast, when Allison's here, Skippy comes out of me a lot because the character Skippy Green that I do, my brain is just so trained to speak as Skippy in certain situations that if I say it as if I said that like whatever you cunt. A Skippy, it would have been, and she would have went, oh, Skippy, and it would have been that. But when it comes out of with my voice and as me, it just doesn't sound right.
Part of
right.
it is, too, there's no real distinction between your relationship, hanging out and having fun and being husband and wife, and the podcast. It's done in your house. It's not even like my place where, like, I have a room where I don't go in that room unless I'm that's the podcast room, mm-hmm. and that's a safe place.
Right.
You're doing it in your bedroom. You do it in your living room. It's like... there is no real line of like, okay, we're going to be comedians now on a show. We're not, you know, there's
funny,
no.
Funny you say that, though, because this podcast will soon be moving to an official network.
Ooh.
So I will probably within the next week or two be broadcasting.
What's
from
for Dinner is now part of the Podstank Network. Podstank. Put it in your asshole. Then your ears. It'll stank in your mouth and your fuck.
So you know the Podstank Network.
Yeah. Big
very
part nice. Of it.
Very cool.
On board with Podstank. Podstank.com. Gotta buy that now.
Yeah, you gotta go buy Podstank. No, it's not Podstank. I'll make the official announcement when it's all official.
Ooh, girl, you got that Podstank?
Oh,
shit.
Oh, damn.
Then well, I hope...
then I can insult her all at once.
It's one of those things that I think, especially in your situation, it's gotta be separate. You gotta have these distinctive lines of like, look, she's gonna do things that you're not involved in, but if this is the Flip Schultz What's for Dinner podcast, I'm not saying never have your wife on. But I mean,
I'll tell you what, everybody listening who's been listening for a little while and who've heard the shows like this with just me and a guest or the shows with Allison's part of it, you write in.
Tell us what you think.
Tell me what you think. Tell me what you prefer. Be honest, because I'm doing this for me because it's fun, but I also want to keep you guys interested.
I think for your comedy and for your, the great thing about this is something, I don't know if this happens to you yet on your show. I come up with material on it all the time.
Sometimes,
I'll take something and go write.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is you can go do it that night or whatever. And if you're afraid to throw things out, if you're filtering yourself in any way on a higher level than you normally would on stage or with me or with a friend.
Then I'm not being true to myself and the audience.
It's not about being true. It's just like you're not being true to yourself, I guess, you're not being true to yourself because you're not putting out something that would be the product that you would be putting out if you weren't. And so what's the solution to that? Well, tell her to fucking get over it and put up with it? No. But
if I wasn't married to her, maybe.
If she was in the apartment right now, this show would be different.
Well, yeah, of course. Right? Because there'd be another person on it. Yes.
Well, even if she wasn't on.
But if she was in the apartment?
Well, because she wasn't on the show I was on. We were just talking, and then she came in and joined it.
True.
Like these women do. They flock.
So you're saying if she was here right now,
she'd be a part of the show by now.
She probably would have been a part of the show. But let's say she's like, I just need to work. I'll be in the other room. And then we're talking. Would I have been saying these things about her if I knew she was in the next room?
And you're not saying probably. Anything. I don't think there's anything offensive. Like, she can hear this, and I think it's fair. Look, your wife's amazingly funny and talented and great. But you, as a husband and wife, you got to do things separate. You got to. You guys perform on the road all the time together.
Yeah.
I mean, you live together.
You know what? I should give her her own podcast.
Okay.
And let her do that without me.
Should write, you know what she could do that would take the fuck off and you can have it? This idea. This is great.
Please tell me.
Nobody would do this.
Drum roll.
And do a video. Because YouTube it and podcast it. One song a day she should challenge herself to write, or one song a week. That's just like a 2-3 minute song, silly song. She's cute. She sits down in front of a green screen or whatever you got. Play it, put it on YouTube, put it out as a podcast. Every week, make yourself write a new song, original.
That's not a bad idea. She doesn't write originals. She writes parodies.
Something new.
She's tried. She's trying to make herself write some originals. But
I think she'll get more attention if she does that.
You know what? I've talked about this too with her, like that she for that exact reason.
Parodies kill at shows and do very well at shows.
But to be taken seriously in the industry, you need to kind of step your game up a little bit. And you're right. I mean, she's very funny.
It shows off your musical ability. It shows off your writing ability. It shows off your performance ability.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
I mean.
But, yeah, no, I
anybody
agree.
Can sing karaoke.
I agree.
She's talented. She could do it.
She's forcing herself to go to different places. Actually, the other night she went up on stage for the first time. I'm sorry, the second time ever without a guitar. And just did five minutes of straight stand-up.
That's good.
And she did pretty good.
I'm telling you, I saw Jeff Dunham one time, opening for Jeff Dunham. He went up and did like 30 minutes of stand-up. And I was like, Jesus.
No, you know what?
I'll tell you who else. Gallagher. Holy shit.
Which one? Gallagher 1 or 2?
Gallagher.
He's a bitter prick. Did I tell you when
Somebody
I met him?
Somebody told me they could get him on my show. He lives like in the valley. He lives like way west. Like
no, he lives somewhere in the outskirts. Like I saw something on TMZ where they're at his house and it looked like he had like desert behind him.
I think he lives up in the mountains west, like way out past Woodland Hills.
Whatever. I saw him at a college conference.
He lives in a cave in Afghanistan.
But
he does a 2-hour show. He doesn't have anybody open for him. He goes out, he does 2 hours, and he does 1 hour and 40 of stand-up before he gets the Sledge-O-Matic shit.
How he always was. If you watch his old Showtime stuff, he had some...
I'm saying I saw him like 08, 09, and I was on... It was fucking poignant, well-written, current. I was like, holy shit, Gallagher?
Yeah. The thing is, it's like...
And he can perform, man.
Yeah. But he got known for the Sledge-O-Matic.
Sure.
But if you watch some of his old Showtime specials in the 80s and early 90s, he was doing... I think the shows might have been edited down to like an hour and a half. But... all great writing. Occasionally he had a prop on stage that he'd incorporate. And he wouldn't get, like I said, wouldn't get to the fruit to like the last, 10, 15 minutes. But that's what he was known for, was the fruit. So it's kind of like, it's almost the, I guess
well,
almost
what,
like
nice
done him with the pup.
Though. It's like, I never was like, get to the fucking watermelon. It was a good show.
I wouldn't want to see the watermelon. But this is my Gallagher story. When I saw him at this college conference, I met because he is a fucking icon, and
sure.
I'm a fan, and so I went up to him, introduced myself, and he was just like, "Yeah, hey," and then he watched my show, and I had a shit show. I really did have a shit show. I was hosting this conference, this one showcase, hosting at a college showcase conference place is death, can be death anyway. But this room was set up so wrong for comedy, it was awful. And I pretty much ate a bag of dicks. Gallagher, who's a comedian who should know variables that affect a comedian's performance, came up to me and went through this long list of what I did wrong. And I just wanted to say, dude, look, I respect you, but did you fucking see what I was dealing with up there? He made one note that I agreed with out of like the 6 he gave me.
Yeah, and his argument would be like, I could go out there and get him. It's like, you're fucking Gallagher.
No, actually he didn't.
No?
I wasn't there, but my manager sent me a video of him performing. Because the kids don't know who he is. They just kind of looked at him like, who's this weird old guy doing handstands?
I imagine most of his shows these days are 50, 60-year-old people.
Yeah, and maybe some comedy connoisseurs who are a little younger who know their shit. But, see, that's... Oh, dude. Well, I didn't want to put that out there.
There's this whole thing now. Comedy nerd. Like, this whole, subculture between... I guess it came from alt comedy, but this whole like Chris Hardwick
nerd
shit.
Dude, Chris, and I'm so happy for him. I've known Chris for years, and I met him out here when he'd already done Singled Out. He kind of had a name, but he was starting to get into stand-up. He had been in stand-up maybe 3 or 4 years when I met him out here. And I just remember he was really sweet guy, very cool. Both of us big Weird Al fans. We went to see him before. And then he just one day said, all right, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm concentrating on this. Boom. Podcast. Boom. Website. Boom. TV show. He just had fucking Tom Hanks on his Nerdist podcast.
Yeah,
I saw that. And he's producing videos with Weird Al
and Ben Folds.
That letter
was pretty cool. I just saw the letter that Tom sent him back.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He sent, I guess to invite Tom Hanks on his podcast, he sent him a 1934 vintage typewriter, like an old typewriter. Tom Hanks collects old typewriters.
Really?
And he found that out. Bought an old 1934, I guess it was a pretty expensive typewriter. Sent him that with a typewritten invitation to come on the podcast. Which I guess, I mean, that's a good way to get...
Is that's it, a really
it,
good
send
way.
Send it over to Playtone.
By the way, if anybody wants me to be on their podcast, I like iPads.
Yeah, current. New
new typewriters.
Yeah.
iPads,
MacBook
iPhone
Pros,
5, MacBook. You
IMAX.
Know what? Send me a MacBook. I will be on your podcast the next day.
Yep.
I'm putting that out there. It doesn't matter where you live. I will be on your podcast.
So Tom Hanks typewrote a letter back to him. And it's online. He put it on Reddit. I saw it on Reddit. It was on Instagram. But he's just like, Tom wrote back, if you think just by sending me a typewriter that I'm going to go, ooh, the action on this is nice. The keys aren't sticky at all, and it's pretty quiet. Like, this is all in the letter. It's just like, you ingenious bastards. I'll be happy to do your part. Like, it was just this really cool letter, but to get from Tom Hanks, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Typewritten.
Who's the biggest person you've had on your show?
Biggest person,
like maybe. not physically, like status wise, like
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could make a case for Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, I am happy about like Jim Norton, Robert Kelly.
Oh, that's cool.
Patrice,
you had Patrice on, really? Nice.
Bob Saget,
really? Was he at this one or the old studio?
Tampa.
When he did the club or something?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Did
you find that was easier when you were working like in a city where you were kind of a local big comic to get the headliners to come in?
You know, I get comfortable. That's my problem. I have a lot of friends out here, so it's easy for me to reach out to them. Like, do you want to do the show? Do you want a show? And then get a stable of like 10 people that I keep
rotating.
But that's part of needing to go out every night. I want to meet new people. And it does creep people out sometimes. But I've gotten great people on by just walking up to them and be like, hey, saw your set, thought you were really funny. I do a really funny comedy podcast. We just shoot the shit, hang out. Love to have you on it sometime. Here's my card.
Yeah, I remember the first
Fairbanks, time. Chris Fairbanks has come on for me doing that.
Cool.
And he's been on more than once, and he's great.
I could, you know, the guest we were talking about when I did the show that you wanted to get on, I'm pretty sure he wants to do it.
The guest you were talking about. Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. That'll be really fun.
Yeah, it'd be really good. Because he also comes completely prepared, too.
That's got to be like a marathon show thing. That's like a fun. I don't want to put a limit on it. You know what I mean? I want him to like be there for like commenting on different things. That'd be fun.
Actually, you know who you could. How about having the Crack Pack on your show?
Who's that?
That would be Skippy Green, Clownvis Presley, and Bunny Love.
The Crack Pack? Oh, Bunny Love. Jesus.
The Cracked Pack. They just did. I'm saying this in the third person. They.
Yeah, I saw you at a show with some kind of show.
They did the Naughty Show with Sam Triple H's podcast.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Where was that at?
The Ice House.
I missed it.
It was fun.
Does he do all his Naughty Shows out there now, not the Improv anymore?
No, he does a podcast at a studio at the Ice House.
So you
say like some of the biggest comics, the biggest guests.
I mean, Saget's probably the biggest like thing who's ever done anything with me. And then... I don't know. I just like Todd Glass has done it. Mark Maron.
And that was before he had WTF, right?
No, it was while Mark Maron did it last a year and a half ago. This is right after he started WTF. But see, he did my show in 2007 in Tampa. And it was right after he got kicked off Air America.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just kind of like enamored. My studio was pretty nice in Tampa. And he was just like, oh, you can just do this out of your house. And he put me in touch with somebody out here to tell him, like, what to do, get help with equipment, software. And I try to take a little credit for that show.
Well, you should.
I mean, he came in and saw it. He was just like, you can just do this out of your house. This is amazing. Like, he was taking pictures. He was texting this guy. He's like, you got to talk to this guy. We got to work it out. And then I knew he took a couple years, I guess. He started in 2010, maybe the end of 2009. And I had just moved out here. And I ran into him, and I was like, oh, you got to come on my thing. And he's like, yeah, and you got to come on mine. And this was in whenever he did my show, March, April 2010. And I remember him telling me he had about 25,000 subscribers, you know, and I was just like, keep plugging along, kid. You'll get
keep
there. Yeah.
He got
this
there.
This motherfucker went, whoa. And then, like, I never emailed him about, you said I could do your show. Like, what the
you
fuck
should,
am I?
You should, man.
What
you
am
should.
I going to do after Louie and after, you know, Conan and Andy Richter? And
but you know what? If you ever, if you listen to, even with the comics that aren't as known, he
I
still just treats them like Jimmy Schubert. Do you know Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy, old friend of mine.
Jimmy's great.
Jimmy's fantastic.
By the way, he did a show in my house when I had the network. I think he did Dan Gabriel's show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to get him in. He'd be really funny.
I should give Jimmy a call, see if he wants to come do mine.
He
I like how my podcast now with you as my guest, we're discussing other guests.
Yeah, we really turned this into a weird thing.
Well, this is what happens.
Shoot the shit.
The biggest person I've had on this. Probably, if I get realistic.
Darren Carter.
Darren or the director of the movie I did, who's actually done legitimate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why don't you get some of your big friends? Why don't you get Jamie out here? See, Jamie was really skittish on my show. Wouldn't say much, didn't comment on many jokes.
Yeah, honestly.
It's all network TV'd up.
I haven't talked to Jamie in a little while.
He's very strange, man.
Jamie Kennedy. He's
neurotic.
When he's very neurotic, but not in like a weird way, just in a... That's just how he is kind of way.
Yeah, you just get like, oh, okay.
But Jamie, he's weird. When you're in with him, like as far as being in his circle, you know, he'll return your calls. He's, hey, dude, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. But for what, and I, to this day, I don't know why suddenly communication stopped.
Me neither.
But when you're out, it's like, it's...
When you're out, it's out. And, you know, he used to answer my emails. He used to answer my texts. He used to answer my calls.
Yeah.
I worked
to call me.
Several gigs with him.
Same here.
And
I got right up there.
And one time, you know, he did the show out here, and he had gotten a new phone. He had switched from a BlackBerry to an iPhone, and he was actually moving everything over right there at my house. And I was like, "Let me get your new number." And he wouldn't. He was hesitant, and then he finally agreed to it. And I was like, "No, like really? I wouldn't even take it." I was just like, "If you don't want me to, what do you think I'm doing with you? Like, I have famous people's numbers on my phone. I don't." Harass them. I feel very weird harassing people.
Oh, same here. I've got famous people's numbers in my phone too, and
how dare you think that you're like the most famous person's number I have in my phone? Like Kevin Pollak and Bob Saget are giving me their numbers with no problem, and you're fucking like, ugh. It's an Oscar.
Let's
nominee.
Call Bob Saget.
Bob Saget.
Let's call him.
I called. This was the creepiest thing I ever did. On my show, I called Greg Giraldo's number the weekend he had passed away.
Oh.
To hear his voicemail. And it was so creepy because it was like he knew. Like, it was sad. It was like, it's Greg. I'm not here anymore. Like, it was just not here anymore. He didn't say that. Oh, but, I mean, Jesus.
What?
It was like, did you pre-record this?
You know, I still have in my phone, I still have Greg's number and Schimmel's
still
number.
Have it. I can't take it out.
I can't either.
Patrice's either. I can't take it out.
Yeah, it's like that. You know,
and it's again. These are just people on my phone. I never bothered Patrice O'Neill. One weekend we hung out together. We worked together. Never fucking talked to the guy again. What do you think I'm gonna do with your number? Like, what am I, Jamie? What are you doing today? Want to have lunch every day? I'm just fucking stalking Jamie Kennedy. Like, I got nothing to do.
See, that, I mean, honestly, I'll every couple months I just send out a text on, hey Jay, it's me. Hope all is well, man. Just would love to hear back from you. And you know, I sometimes say if you want to grab a bite or something, let me know, man. We'd love to catch up. Not because I want anything from him, because we were
odd.
Friends, and
it's
I just
odd.
I liked, yeah. Did you know
and
he
you never see him out? He's never out.
No, he's never at the club. Well, he's got
he's on the factory every once in a while.
He's got his show on the CW now, that game show that he hosts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called Oh Sit. It's musical chairs meets.
But yeah, he's never out at clubs course. Or anything.
No, I mean sometimes he'll go on the road, but never around here. I never see him out at any of these clubs.
Sure.
But no, one time, like, this is how cool he was, though.
I think he's one of those guys that's just really guarded. He's very careful about who he trusts lets in
yeah.
and things. And then he's not even, like, sure once you're in whether you belong. I mean, it's very weird.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of, in the same way. Everybody kind of starts with me, and I have to
endear yourself.
You have to just be, I don't know. I have to sense there's no fakeness to you. I can't put up with, like, fake.
Well, yeah, you're in the right town for that.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people. There are a lot of good people here, man. People shit on LA, but I've met a lot of really cool people.
No, there are some good people.
You can get so much stuff done, like you were talking about, if you're motivated. You can find talented people who are willing to do cool things with you just to do them.
What I love... Oh, shit. I got to leave soon.
You got to go to a...
I'm meeting a friend for dinner in less than
mitzvah?
An hour. No, in less than an hour, I'm meeting a friend for dinner.
What's for dinner?
Ha! Mexican food.
Gross.
Is it?
It's delicious.
Is it great? Actually, if
How about this fucking restaurant that's been opening for like 2.5 years?
Oh, the one right on Olive?
Right next to...
Across from
ABC?
Yeah,
right on Olive and Alameda?
Yeah.
What is the... I mean,
I
open! It better be the fucking best thing ever. 2 years. Coming soon. And by the way, it's not like nothing's going on there. Every day there's work trucks and shit. They've got the stuff they put, the plastic wrap they put over the whole window so you can't see in. I mean, what are you doing in there? Making meth?
What if...
Open the restaurant,
You know
man.
What it is? You know what it's going to be? Taco Viva.
I don't know what that is.
Does nobody get that reference?
Taco Viva?
Did you not know Taco Viva?
I don't know what that is.
It was like the precursor to Taco Bell. Like
oh,
in the
really?
Early 80s. It was a chain called Taco Viva.
Taco Bell wasn't around in the 80s?
Not as mass as it is now.
No.
Maybe that was just a Florida thing, but Taco Viva, man. I used to
I was too
love
young.
That. Am I that much older
You're
than
so
you?
Old.
That's it. Dude, last night. Okay. I'm lying in bed, and I'm a little stoned. And like I said, I get very introspective when I'm stoned.
Sure.
And certain thoughts affect me more than they normally would if I was sober. I started thinking, like, holy shit, I am 2 years from being 40. Fuck me.
It blows your mind.
It really does. Because I honestly don't feel like I'm the age I am. I feel
sure.
like I'm still in my early 20s. But then I look in the mirror.
You never do. You know, I felt like I knew everything and was ahead of everybody when I was 10. And I still feel that way sometimes. And then I look, I mean, I know I'm not. But you just, you feel the same, you know. And my grandmother would, before she died, we'd have weird conversations. But she told me the same thing. Like, you know, in your mind, I'm 25. And that's, you know, and that's a person who's always just been an old gray-haired lady to me. Always.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My whole life. She died when she was 84. So to think about that, and then I look at yearbook pictures of her. She was smoking hot. And you think, like, this
you
is my grandmother.
You want to fuck your grandmother?
I would. She was really hot. She was horribly, horribly attractive.
And, wait, how is somebody horribly attractive?
Well, they're related.
Ah.
It's like picking up.
Well, no, that's horribly awkward.
It's like looking for girls at Thanksgiving. It's not usually a wise idea. Not going to like what you come back with.
Depends.
This is my new cousin, sister, mommy.
Well, apparently there is some of that going on in your family that you were discussing, but enough
Jesus.
Of that.
I've told it on my show before.
That's a very fucked up story.
Yeah.
I want to. If you want to hear that story, folks, go listen to an old episode of NLO because that's just
wade through the 850 shows.
That how many you have?
Yeah,
850 shows.
We just did 840 yesterday.
Wow, congratulations, man!
Yeah, I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Yeah, so you got 900 coming soon, like within a year or so.
Yeah, I got to do something big for 1,000. That'll be like a year out, year and a half out, a couple years. I don't know.
Well, I would love to be a part of it.
I want to do a big show. But, I got a real... I usually have a real good history with those. I'm sure if we plan a real big show, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to just
I think it's just putting on a monthly show here is brutal. People come out to one, they're like, I've seen the NLO comedy show.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, it's different every time.
Well, you know what? Hopefully next time people will realize that.
Well, I wanted to have one. My birthday is 11/11. I wanted to have one when I got... But see, I get back from London.
Did we have this discussion already?
Probably.
My birthday's 11/10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be in New York.
I know. I missed your... You had a karaoke party last year.
I did. By the way, to anybody... and we do... Actually, shit, we do have to start wrapping this up.
Good.
I apologize. This has been just a fun kind of kickback show.
Sometimes it's not... You don't have to be ha-ha funny the whole time.
No, I know. But
I get tired of it.
Yeah. Tell me about it. It's very hard to try to be funny all
I
the
kill,
fucking time.
Kill all day?
It's brutal. It's tough being me. But this Friday, if you are in L.A., Skippy Green will be going up at the Refried Comedy Show at the Improv, 10 o'clock at the Melrose Improv.
Great
Allison.
Show. It's always packed.
Always a great show. Always. And Allison will be doing a spot on that show as well. So you come see both of us Friday night. You can email me, flip@flipschultz.com for tickets, or go to my Facebook/flipschultz2. Message me there. Hook me up on Twitter @flipschultz. And also, I found out the movie I did. I can now say the name of the title of the movie. Because it's been released. There's an IMDb page for it. Deep Dickin' 4, The Revenge. But no, there's an IMDb page, and I just found today there's a Facebook fan page for the movie with actually my picture from the movie is the profile picture. It's pretty cool. But the movie is called, drumroll, you ready? Drumroll.
Cocks and Cafes.
No. The movie, which is a spoof of all the like the found footage type movies, is called 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Sounds like it's going to be a hit.
It's, you know what it's going to be? Here's what I predict it's going to be. I think it's going to be a very well-received, because it's going right to video, but a well-received video from like college kids and people who just have a really fun sense of humor. Do I imagine it being a huge blockbuster? No, it is what it is, but I imagine it's going to be very funny. People are going to like it, and it will open up many doors to not only me, but all the others involved in it. I'm just, dude, and the bottom line, I did a fucking movie, and that's forever.
I'm ordering that on Blu-ray.
Please do. You could probably get it on Netflix and Amazon. But the more I know about the movie, the more I will tell you people, my lovely, lovely friends and fans. And Patrick, of course, any plugs real quick?
Oh, yeah. This Saturday night, October 13th, if you're in New York City, this is now a free show. Free.
Wow.
Sidewalk Cafe, East Village, New York City. Myself, Pat Dixon, very funny comedian, you know Pat?
Yeah.
Now I'm blanking. Like four other comics from Conan, Letterman, Comedy Central. Free show, 10 p.m., October 13th, Saturday night, Sidewalk Cafe in the East Village.
Fantastic.
So come on to there. And then a week later, of course, October 19th to 20th, if you're in London, Dirty Dicks, all the information, nobodylikesonions.com/London, @PMelt on Twitter. Thank you.
Excellent. And before we go, Patrick, to close the show.
Can I just say thank you for having me first? Can I?
Yes, you could say
that. I'm intimidated about what you're doing because you just sat up in the chair. You're leaning at me, and I feel like something's about to come at me.
It is. Here's a little thing called the Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Why, Patrick Melton, look at you. Sitting across from me, all smiling and smug, you fat fuck. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
For what?
In 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9. In 10 words exactly. Answer the following question. If you could have sex with any of your electronic equipment, what would it be and why?
I think my stapler looks pleasurably fuckable. I'd fuck that.
Way more than 10 words.
No, it's not.
Count it out again.
I think my stapler looks pleasurably fuckable. I'd fuck that.
I stand corrected.
Nailed it!
Nailed it!
And beat Skippy Green at counting.
I'm high anyway. Good night, everybody.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.